Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello and welcome to Earn More, Stress Less with me, Caro Sison. Thanks for joining me. I've got an amazing guest here with me today and we're doing a spotlight this week on the freelance business of copywriting. So for those of you who might not know what a copywriter is, I'm sure my guest will explain better than me, but it's basically someone who crafts and writes all the words that we read in emails, websites, marketing ads, sales pages, or anywhere else really that you may see persuasive information that keeps you engaged on a page. I'm really excited to have Chantelle Davison, who's a great friend as well, to join us this week, and she's going to share her journey with us into self-employment and explain the types of clients she works with, just so that you can see if using a copywriter could help you in your own business. Without further ado, let's get listening. Welcome to this week's podcast.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me. So I'm Chantelle Davison, and I'm a copywriter and a copywriting coach. So what that means in a nutshell is, if you don't know what copywriting is I write the words in people's businesses to help them sell or to help encourage people to take action. So copy is essentially any of the words in your business that are encouraging someone to take an action. So you've got them in your business right now. You've got emails, you've got websites. I'm the girl that writes them for you.
So I think a lot of people don't even sort of think, they just presume that they would always do it themselves. What would they ever, you know, ask anybody else to do that for? Because, you know, it's my business, you know, don't I have to write that stuff? But I think it's really important to know that there are specialist people just like you, Chantelle, to be able to support people when they're working for themselves, to be able to write that copy and to be able to deliver the message in the voice that that person, you know, has for their business, etc. We have a lot of solo self-employed people listening into the podcast. So I think there is that mentality that we have to do it all ourselves. But I think when copy, the actual writing, the text that goes into people's websites is, you know, being thought about and designed, it is so important that that messaging, I mean, that's your front shop window, really, isn't it, when you're online or when people come to find you. So what are the steps involved, you know, in copywriting? How do you get that right? What is your sort of brief that enables you to be able to deliver that in that way?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing is understanding what your product or service delivers to your end user. Like, what is the benefit to them? A lot of people get hung up on their mission, why they do what they do, the features, every single tiny element of their product or service. But actually, the most important thing, in fact, the only important thing that your ideal client wants to know when they land on your website is, what does this mean for me? So if you can get right down to the core of what that benefit is, how it's going to make their life better, that's what makes good copy. And in terms of the process of writing it, from a copywriter's point of view, that's about getting in your client's head. So when I take on a new customer or client, I'll have a really thorough intake call with them always. We spend an hour and 90 minutes together chatting about everything involved in their business, really, because a lot of the time people kind of don't see how that would be relevant. Like, why does my values matter in terms of my website copy? Why does it matter why I do what I do, what my passions are, what brought me to this place in my business? But those key messages, they kind of filter into your voice and they filter in, you know, they bring your personality into your copy. And one of the things that is so important about copywriting is that it actually sounds like you. because a lot of people try and put on a really formal business-like kind of, I don't know what the word is, like almost like a, yeah, like a business person.
Yes, you think you have to, don't you? Yes, yeah. Yes. You think you have to suddenly become superly, overly articulate and say all this formal stuff when in fact,
right.
I think people are just looking for that conversational tone. Is this a good match for me?
Okay. That's exactly what they want. Yeah. Copy should be a conversation, you know, good copy, the kind that makes you go, yes, I want this. Like I have to buy into this. When you land on those websites where you get that feeling, it's always a conversation. They're talking directly to you. They're telling you why it matters. They're inviting you into their kind of world, into their story. And it feels personable. You know, you feel like you're kind of working with your online BFF or whatever. It's that feeling you get when you connect with someone, whether you've found them through Instagram or social media or, you know, whatever. It's that feeling like you're reading their copy and you can feel their personality talking to you, because that's what creates that connection.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that maybe because we're so used to seeing corporate websites, big websites where they've been written by companies and, you know, there's a certain tone to them. As self-employed small business owners, we're sort of aspiring to think that we need to be bigger and like that, when in fact we need to perhaps be the opposite. Do you think maybe we need to show our uniqueness and the fact that there is just one of us, and that, you know, obviously we need to deliver the message. If somebody's coming to you to look for a service or, you know, they're looking for specifically pricing or whatever, that needs to be easy for them to find if you've got a website and they're finding that. But ultimately, I suppose the homepage, the About You page, all of those things that you write copy for, those things need to be very bespoke and individual and really get that essence of who you are. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think one of the superpowers we have as small business owners is that we can infuse our copy and our business with our personality, because we are our brand. You know, with big businesses, sometimes there is a struggle to get any personality across, because corporates don't have a personality in a better company. You know, they don't have one person that's representing them in that same way. Whereas if you are a one-man band, if you're your business, you get the benefit of being able to infuse everything you do with your passion, with your personality. And people, you know, it's a cliche, but people work with people, right? People buy from people. So if you are a one-man band and when people come and work with you, they're going to get FaceTime with you, selling yourself is a really big part of that, because they want to know that they're going to be working with someone that they like, that they trust, that they believe in. And telling people a bit about your story and a bit about you is what builds that relationship, what builds that trust. So yeah, absolutely. It's so important. And I think a lot of small business owners really veer away from that, especially those that have come from a corporate background like me. I found very much that when I first started my business, I had to kind of shed this corporate skin a little bit, of this feeling of my professional self and my Chantal self. You know, my actual personality took quite a lot of time to come out in my business and my videos and my copy, because there's almost this uniform or this armor that you put on when you go to work in a corporate world, where it's actually detrimental to be to yourself, because that's not really what they're looking for. And to when you run your own business, you get this kind of freedom that it's almost hard to believe that people will actually be okay with you swearing or, you know,
being real life. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. But actually, that's what people love.
And I would love that. That's a great intro into, can we find out a little bit more about how you got to where you are at the moment being self-employed? Because I know you were corporate initially, and it would be great to share with the listeners about how you have progressed into your self-employed journey, because it doesn't always start when you leave school. But how did you become self-employed, Chantal?
Yeah, so I left university in 2011, is that right? Yeah, 11, and went on to apply for a load of graduate schemes and got onto a graduate scheme with a big corporate chocolate company.
One we would know.
One you would know, a recognisable brand. And spent 2 years doing a graduate scheme training program there, where you kind of go through all of the different programs, you know, sales, marketing, finance, and then that was the start of a 7-8 year career in marketing and sales. So I worked for a couple of different businesses, usually selling chocolate. That was seemed to be my niche, but FMCG world of sales. And there was lots I loved about it. It was fantastic to get all that training. But what I found, particularly towards the end, was that there was a lot of traveling. There was a lot of being away from home. There was a lot of late nights and early mornings and stress. And there was a bit of a restructure in the business I was working in. And to put it lightly, my new manager and I did not see eye to eye. And I got really depressed. Like, I just got really, really sad and really anxious. And I felt like going to work every day was just, it was so stressful. You know, I'd be getting calls at 10 o'clock at night, calls at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I just, yeah, it got really hard to cope with. And so in the end, I just knew that I had to quit. I knew, you know, it was, not only was my situation making me unwell, but I was looking up at the people above me in the corporate world I was in and going, I don't want that. Like, if I'm stressed at this level, what is that like?
There has to be an alternative. And what could it be?
Right. And to be honest with you, I'd love to say I had a clear plan about what was going to happen. But what actually happened was I handed my notice in and then went, probably better find something to do. my kind of, I guess, my model for self-employed life as an option is really only there because that's what my parents do. They run businesses. So they've run pubs and restaurants my whole life. And my dad's a consultant as well. So I knew that that was an option. And I'm not sure that everyone does, or not everyone sees it as a viable option. So for me, I kind of went, okay, well, I've always liked the idea of running my own business. I've seen my parents do it. So what could I do? And the thing I've always loved is writing. Since I was very small, I've been essentially been my dad's ghostwriter, because whilst he's incredibly creative and buzzy, writing just isn't his thing. And he finds that really difficult to articulate his big ideas. And so I've since I was about 13, I've been his ghostwriter, his kind of mini me, putting his ideas into words. And when I started chatting to him about what I could do as a business, he was like, well, why don't you do that? He was like, I don't really know what that is, but can you do that for other people? And I was like, maybe. So I had did a bit of research, and obviously from working in marketing and sales, knew what copy was, but it's very different in a corporate world to running your own freelance copywriting business. So yeah, started doing lots and lots of research, reading all the books, doing all the courses, all the free courses online that I could find, and finding out much more about it. And as it turns out, copywriting is pretty much the perfect combination of writing and sales, which were the two things I knew I was good at. So that was kind of how it got started, really. I decided that was what I was going to do and started looking for as much experience doing that for people I knew as I could, and building up that portfolio.
And did you have any fears when you got started? Can you remember back to actually sort of that first moment when you thought, gosh, I'm self-employed, and heck, how do I, you know, what can you recall what those fears were and share any of those?
Oh, vividly, yes. I was about £30,000 in debt at the time. So my prevalent fear was, I don't know how I'm going to pay rent or eat food.
Right. So there was a big motivating factor to start earning money.
Yes. That was really tough. And because when you first start a business, there is a lot of learning, you know, there's a lot of growth and learning, and you have to find your first clients, and that's not easy. It's one of the biggest challenges for small business owners when they first get started is, how do I even meet people? How do I find people who will pay me for this? When, you know, it's that chicken and egg thing. I haven't got experience, so I can't get clients, but I can't get clients because I haven't got experience. And that was definitely a big fear, was no one's going to pay me to do this.
And I think that's what sometimes keeps people in employment. I often recommend that people transition by building up their self-employed client base, alongside their main job, if that's an option for them. But obviously you took that plunge straight away. Did you have any clients?
That would have been the smart move.
Yeah. Did you have any clients when you first started, or you were literally at ground zero thinking, right, I'm going to be self-employed now. How do I get my first client? Can you remember?
I was really lucky because my dad's business has always needed support in terms of writing his consultancy business. So I started doing a couple of days a week for him. So just fully acknowledge the privilege of that, because that meant that I could do it. It gave me a leg up and a huge a huge head start on a lot of people who start from nothing. So I had that income to start with, which was great. Other than that, what I did was just harass everyone I know. I basically got in touch with everyone I knew, corporate, personal, family, friends, and said, I am planning to make a living from writing. And if you have any writing you need doing for your business, please let me know. You know, I'll offer preferential rates. I will do work in exchange for testimonials. You know, I was very much in that mindset of I will do what I need to do and grow.
Creativity. Yes.
Yeah. Creativity. Exactly. Because a lot of people, and I find this one a bit tricky, because I would never recommend people work for free. If you can avoid it, it's not the way forward. Your work should be valued.
Well, it's not a business model, is it? That's not going to,
Right. However, I know that when I first started, I needed the experience. I needed the testimonials. I needed a portfolio of work to show people as examples. So for a few friends and family, I did offer free work in exchange for testimonials. And in my mind, that just isn't free. Like, that is so valuable. Those testimonials were what gave me a leg up and got me started in the business. So that was how I got started, really. And doing a lot of networking. Obviously, this is pre-COVID. I was fortunate to start the business before the world went into lockdown. So I had a couple of years of proper networking, in-person networking, and that made a massive difference. I did a lot of that locally.
So can I just ask, for people that perhaps aren't at that stage where they could afford a copywriter and to be able to take somebody on, have you got any tips for them getting started with their copy that they might be able to start implementing if they've got a website or anything that they're starting to do, some emails and things? What would be your sort of first line before they can get to a point where they can take somebody amazing on like you to really give everything a zhuzh up?
Yeah. So if you're writing your own copy for your business, there's a few really simple tips. Like I said before, the main thing is, what is the benefit to your ideal client? That's the key. That's what needs to be in your headline.
Always keep that in mind.
Yes, absolutely. It needs to be in your headline. It needs to be really clearly articulated in your copy. And then other than that, there's a few things. So make it conversational, as we've already mentioned. It's a conversation between two people. So try not to talk like you're talking to a stadium. That's a mistake a lot of business owners make, is, hello, everybody. Welcome to my website. You know, very kind of, like they're talking to a stadium of people rather than one person.
Sort of all inclusive, just trying to speak to everybody. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. And keep it formal, use contractions. You know, when you speak in real life, you say you're, we're, there. You don't say we are, they are.
So the apostrophe words, like you are, making it into your, we are, we're. Yes. So yeah, very conversational. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And then removing filler language is really important too. So edit brutally once you've written your first draft. Go through and read it aloud. That's the best piece of advice I could give for copywriting, is go through what you've written, read it aloud. If it doesn't sound like you, then add in a little bit more informality, some language you use. And if it sounds a bit clunky or it leaves you out of breath, then you probably need to chop it up and have a little bit more variety in your sentence structure. But these things do become obvious when you read it aloud. So that's the best tip I ever give them.
And what do you really love now about being self-employed? What are the big bonus things that you love and, you know, really relish the now that you are working for yourself?
The lions. I would love to tag you with something much more, you know, spiritual. And
that is real life.
I like not getting up early. I've never liked mornings. It's not my bag. So I'm a night owl, and I love being able to set my schedule and my work hours according to what feels good for me. You know, obviously there are exceptions. Of course, we all have meetings and things we have to get to, but I like being able to do my writing work in the evenings. That's when I'm the most creative and the most awake. So that really is a massive benefit for me. I like being able to work from anywhere. That's really important. I wanted a career. I wanted a business that I could take wherever I go with me. I love traveling, and I want to do more and more of that. So being able to, you know, go and visit my family and still be able to take my work with me, being able to go abroad and know that I can still check my emails and keep on top of things is a massive benefit. I think the biggest one is being my own boss, though. I am just a bit of a rebel by nature. And I've never been a big one for following rules or respecting authority, I guess you would say. Like, I never really liked being told what to do. And being my own boss is great, because I
see, so you're perfectly designed for self-employed life then.
I am, I think. My dad has always been an entrepreneur, and he's always said, you know, I couldn't work for anyone else now. And I think that's exactly how I feel after 5 years of being my own boss. I think I'm unemployable.
No, you're amazing, Chantelle. And I know some of the copy that you've written is incredible. I hear such great reviews from everything that you write. You really are able to get into people's heads and speak in their voice. And that's a real talent. And obviously, you're incredibly creative. And having that creativity and that flair in your business is obviously what makes your business so successful. But when you are a self-employed business owner, there's obviously so many different aspects. And one of those is your finances and your money. And could you just share a little bit about sort of around how you manage those sorts of things, and whether that comes easily to you, or whether you find that's a real drain on your time, or how, what's your sort of relationship like with managing your finances and that sort of thing?
How honest do you want me to be here? The real truth of the matter is money has always burned a hole in my pocket. I've had real struggles with money mindset, and still do. To this day, I'm now running a six-figure business, so I have to be a little bit more pragmatic and a little bit more responsible with my money now, because I'm a limited company and, you know, I'm a director, I have to pay VAT, all that kind of stuff. But the truth is that stuff has all been really intimidating to me as a business. Like, it was one of the biggest things starting a business was that kind of financial legal side of it that I think a lot of people worry about.
The responsibility part, yeah. of your self-employed journey.
Exactly. And it's, yeah. It was much easier when I was self-employed and a sole trader, because your money is kind of all the same money as the business, and that's easier. But now, as a director of a company and paying VAT, that kind of stuff, it is difficult. It feels like very serious adulting.
But do you feel the challenges around your money is any different to when you began as a sole trader compared to a limited company? Do you not? Do you feel that your blueprint with money has changed at all? Or do you feel you still, in essence, have the same blueprint as you had and the same challenges around income and expense management when you were a sole trader to how you are now in a limited company?
It's easier now because I have an accountant.
Okay, so you've actually taken on, you know, a paid professional. Yeah,
I outsourced.
And did you do that quite quickly?
No, I didn't. It was only when I became a limited company that I took on an accountant. So I, as a sole trader, I managed it all myself. I've always been reasonably good with figures and money. So it's not the understanding it that was the struggle. It was the not spending it. but once I became a limited company, I realized I had to be not only much more, you know, careful about which money was mine and which is the business's, but I had to get really serious about the analytics and looking at exactly what was coming in, what was going out, what needed saving, etc. And also, it just took too much time. It was a massive drain on my time to be doing my own bookkeeping and expenses and all that kind of stuff. So, and especially as a limited company, there's just so many returns and forms and stuff that you've got to fill in. So I just went, no, that's a professional accountant's job now. They do my bookkeeping and my accounting for me. So my job now is just trying not to spend all of the money.
And also about making the money as well. That's a huge responsibility when you're self-employed.
It is.
You know, we have to do both the making of the money and the managing of the money, and they're two separate skill sets. But, you know, if you're not making it, then there's nothing to manage. And, you know, you need to be good at both of those things. And I think that's the important part of recognizing our skill sets as a self-employed business owner. But thanks for sharing that, because I think it's important when people see, you know, successful six-figure earning businesses, they presume that they have it all easy and that they are very good with everything right from the get-go. But it's absolutely a matter of working your way up, beginning, learning. We all start at day one. And it's reassuring to hear that, you know, you aren't just born in with these skills. Even, I mean, you had parents, didn't you, both working as self-employed? So you had that role model already. So, you know, you'd seen some
I
of the ins
money
and outs.
As well as one of those things that, you know, everyone has their different blocks or mindset. You know, hurdles they have to get through. But for me, money is one of those things. I see so many successful people with with still a complicated relationship to money. You know, just because you're making more of it, it doesn't mean you have more of it. And I think that's one of the things that is really commonly misunderstood in our industry, is you see people talking about their six-figure businesses, or you know, they're turning over X, Y, and Z, but you forget that the bigger your business, the bigger the expenses. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're taking every penny of that home. And I know this is, again, a bit of a cliche, but people say, you know, new level, new devil. And I really think that's true when it comes to money. You know, the more you are earning, and therefore the higher your outgoings are, the more pressure there is to continue that and to keep that level up and to kind of, yeah, keep that momentum. And when you're a one-man band, especially when it's just you and your business, that can take its toll in lots of different ways, because, you know, keeping this momentum of a six-figure business up means that if you're ill or you have a bad month or stuff happens in your life, as it does, you have to have safety nets in place to make sure that your business doesn't crumble. And that's one of the big learnings I've had in the last year or so, is as you get bigger, as you grow, as you get more successful, you have to be careful about having things like insurance in place and team members and people you can outsource to, because if you drop, your business drops, and that's a lot of pressure.
Thank you. Lovely. So Chantelle, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us today. If our listeners would like to find out more about you and get in touch, how can they connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can connect with me via my social media profile. So I've got at Choice Words Copy on Instagram, and on Facebook, I'm Chantelle Davison and Choice Words by Chantelle. And I also have a number of different resources available on my website. So if people are looking to get started, either writing for their own business or writing for other people, there's some resources there. And that is, I think we're going to share the link in the
show notes. I will put something into the show notes, absolutely. Perfect. So people can come and find you. But thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to hear about our spotlight on copywriting. If anyone is interested in becoming articulate and creative like Chantelle, copywriting is what it is called. And there is a huge need for great copywriting. Writers. I mean, we all have stuff that we're reading all the time. Everything online is now copywritten. So yes, thank you so much, Chantelle. I've had a really enjoyable chat with you today. Thank you, and have a great week. Whatever you are up to, thanks for listening to Earn More Stress Less, and we will catch up with you again in another week's time. Thanks for listening to the Earn More Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organized and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.